Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
Hi, this is Don Fluckinger with SearchHealthIT.com. Today we're talking with Paul Bryant, CEO of PatientKeeper, a company that has written apps for PDAs and smartphones for 11 years. Thanks, Paul, for joining us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, the tablet is sort of a halfway in between a smartphone and a desktop computer. Do you see physicians using, sort of replacing their desktops with these tablets, be it an iPad or one of the Android or Windows competitors, and trying to do all the data entry and functions on their tablets that they otherwise would do on the desktop? Or do you see it as sort of a totally new class of device where you do more than what you can on your smartphone, but less than with your desktop?
I think in some ways the answer is a little bit of both. When tablets first came out, the current generation of tablets, but the original tablets, the kind of PC-based tablets.
Right.
You know, the thinking was, gee, doctors will all adopt those. And they didn't. And for lots of, hopefully, reasonably obvious reasons. With the iPad and now the Android tablets, you know, we've got a class of devices that have some hope of being the right companion for the physician. In the case of the iPad, you know, the biggest challenge with that is it's just the iPhone bigger, and from a software development environment, it's not a proper PC. So you still have to write applications specifically for it, and we're doing that, and others are as well, to create that environment, because it's a, you know, it's a much different environment, obviously, than an iPhone. And I think it is possible to make that your primary and only computing device. Maybe you'll still have an iPhone for when you're not, you know, in the hospital and you're out in a ball game or something. You're probably not going to carry your iPad with you. But when you're in the hospital or in your office, the iPad could become a primary device. But a lot of software doesn't run on it, and you still don't want to take your Citrix thing and stick it on the iPad, which a lot of people are trying. That isn't going to work even on the iPad. You know, certainly the Android tablet creates another set of interesting opportunities as well. And I think that those are going to become really important platforms, and I think they're going to really be a third category. You're going to have your desktop computing platforms, which will still be really important. You'll have your handheld, which will be more of a companion, and you'll have these tweeners, which, if you design the software right, really could become primary, but won't be for everybody. Because there's still some care and feeding to lug those things around. And certainly a lot of people are right now. But, you know, personally, you know, I carry three devices. I carry my Android phone, I carry my iPad, and I carry my PC. So it's made my life, or at least my bag, heavier, more fun and more interesting, but certainly heavier in the process. And, I think some people will still be in that mode, too.
So from your perch, have you seen IT leaders at hospitals willing to adopt smartphones into workflows, or what are the typical barriers to adoption, and how are those overcome?
Well, it's very interesting. You know, when the iPhone first came out and physicians started to get it, there was a general visceral, hey, you know, this doesn't work on my enterprise network, doesn't work with my enterprise email, it's not going to happen on my network. And then the executives themselves started to get iPhones and said, well, gee, I really would like it to work with my enterprise email because I would like one. And that changed the tenor of the discussion in a lot of organizations. And for the most part, I think, you know, with a few exceptions, organizations are saying, hey, we got to make this work in some way, shape, or form. There, you know, the obvious concerns are always, well, gee, you know, what about security? Our organization, as we're going out to these phones, we actually have to put third-party email clients on there with enough security on them so that if there's protected health information in an email, that, you know, it we're sure it's encrypted. Certainly, you run the risk of physicians emailing random stuff to themselves and doing bad things like that. So you got to be, there's scare of that, but you can't really stop that. From a application perspective, since we write applications that contain lots of protected health information, all of our stuff is fully encrypted. You know, these devices are not secure, and you have to treat them like you are putting data in an unsecure place, because you are. And I think as long as you do that, it's fine. I mean, there's plenty of technology that lets you do that. The danger, of course, is that someone takes an application that is not designed that way, and, you know, some generic note writer and starts, you know, like a word processing tool, starts putting notes in it and things like that. That can be a little scary for the IT groups. But for the most part, I think people have recognized that this is a thing that's going to be here and needs to be part of the strategy, at least at some level.
Well, it is very interesting. You bring up this point that a lot of IT leaders are struggling with at hospitals, and that's governance of the data. As a software developer, you can only do so much, and then the IT people have to sort of enforce their policies or somehow lock out the phones from getting these rogue apps, and so they're handling data in the way that the hospital wants them to, right?
Yeah, at some level, I think that the at least the philosophy that we advocate is, look, you know, as a hospital, you support a set of applications. You certify that those applications are secure, and those are the only applications that you push data to, whatever those are, and you make sure that they work well. Nothing's going to stop the doctors from downloading other applications. You can't prevent that. I mean, they're just, I mean, even if you could technologically, these aren't your devices, they're the doctor's devices, and the doctors have to be responsible for that. And the only way they're going to get data into those other non-supported applications is if they manually type it in, or they somehow, you know, email it to themselves or something of that sort. And that's really the doctor's responsibility. They're as liable and as responsible under HIPAA as everyone else. And sometimes smaller practices sometimes are pretty sloppy with that, yes, but that's certainly their responsibility, and I think that the responsibility of the hospitals, since they're bigger organizations, to educate their providers about what is appropriate use and non-appropriate use of PHI and appropriate protection. But at the end of the day, they can't control, and I actually don't even think they're liable for breaches by their independent physicians as long as they didn't put, you know, send the data to them. And you think even if they did, they're not that liable. But that seems to be a good balance between draconian locking things down and just a kind of free-for-all, do whatever you want, which neither extreme is the right way to go.
What advice would you have for hospital IT leaders who are on the fence about integrating smartphones?
The advice I'd give someone who's kind of on the fence of integrating smartphones is, first of all, go talk to your doctors. Ask them what they're doing. Ask them what they would like to do. At the end of the day, IT is fundamentally a support function for the operations of a hospital. And I think that we spend so much time in this industry being concerned about how do we get doctors to adopt technology and, frankly, not doing a great job of it as an industry. And now we have a piece of technology that doctors are, you know, voluntarily adopting, spending their own money to go get and want to use. So it seems to me the perfect time and opportunity to run with that, you know, go with it, find a way to leverage it, be sensible about it. But, you know, resisting it, frankly, just contributes to the belief that many physicians have that, you know, IT is not out there to help them. And here's a great win-win opportunity. You know, obviously, don't be reckless, but be supportive and listen to the doctors and figure out what they want to do with it and see what you can do within the realm of security and prudence for the data you have.
Well, thanks a lot for your time today, Paul. I appreciate your perspective on mHealth.
Well, thank you very much. I very much enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.